old rock and roll favorite, friend. Shuffle on down to Broadway.
Welcome to the Comic Anvil, episode 11. This week we have myself and Wesley and two special guests. I'd like to introduce you to them now. The first is Gary Miller.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Gary. And the other is Andran Jones.
Hi.
Hello. Do you guys want to tell us a little bit about yourselves? We'll start with Gary.
If I must. Hello, everybody. I'm Gary Miller, and I am the devious mind behind DelusionalHonesty.com, an assemblage of reviews and essays and everything about popular culture. I'm also the co-host of the spectacular Spider-Cast, and been a Hulk fan all my life, and have a Incredible Hulk number one signed by Stan Lee to prove it. And love comics, Marvel, DC, Image, doesn't matter. Yes, I am a Marvel zombie at heart.
Word. All right. So yeah, I always refer to Gary as the Walking Hulk Encyclopedia.
It's true.
You're not
it's
the
true.
Only one. I got hounded by that title many times a couple weekends ago at the New York Comic Con. So.
I bet.
Wow. He just keeps bringing this up and just rubbing it in.
I love
it. Did you guys know I went to New York Comic Con? Did you guys know I went to New York Comic Con? Did you guys
hey,
know
it's the first time I brought it up in this podcast.
Just so you know. Yeah, in the podcast, for the last 2 weeks, all you've been saying is New York Comic Con every other sentence. Like, oh man, I went to the store. It was really great. Oh, by the way, New York Comic Con.
Oh, come on now.
I'm teasing.
It was just that
Gary,
cool, and
Gary is like a brother to me, who I'm just now talking to via Twitter.
Okay, so everybody meet Andran, who's going to introduce himself. I think he can.
Oh, yes, yes. I am Andran of the Comic Book Revolution. That's comicbookrevolution.net. Gary is also with us, but he doesn't write for us because he didn't like our website very much. But,
oh, hey, I have an article that's coming up very, very soon. Should be up today or tomorrow. So.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. And
Morbius article.
I am the Comic Book Revolution's big Image guy. Image Comics is pretty much my forte, and that's what I talk about mostly. I'm also a big horror geek, so we're just wrapping up the Halloween celebration at the Revolution. A final article for me is going up tomorrow. I think it's probably actually going to be bleeding a little into November, because Brandon finally finish some of this stuff. That's really cool looking. Really cool stuff. Cool. And, yeah, pretty much Image is my stuff. I'm also a big Hulk fan from my father. Gave me a lot of Hulk comics as a kid. And it's going to be a cool time. I did not go to New York Comic Con, but I didn't go to New York Comic Con.
That's too bad, man.
I'm horror sorry, fan. No. Solidarity, man.
There you go. It seems appropriate that
word.
It's the day before Halloween right now, and we're going to talk about probably the best monster in comics form, in my opinion.
Must not make Joe Quesada joke. Must not make Joe Quesada joke.
Okay.
Make it, please. Come on.
I didn't think about that. What?
I can't help it.
So here we are with a new number one from The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, and here I thought we were going to talk about Hulk 43.
What? Oh. Yeah, we could talk about that. I have to go get it. I can't remember.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, no, actually, I remember. I like that book, too. Machine Man was in it. Machine Man, yeah.
Machine Man's in Hulk 43?
I think so.
Really? Yes, like he is. Machine Man because he drinks.
Oh my
if he did
God.
Nothing else, if he did not drink, he would not be a character that you like.
I you like know Machine it. Man.
I think I need to read this.
That's the best reply. I like Machine Man.
Dude, I love Machine Man since freaking Next Wave.
He's not defending the fact that he'll... He's not defending what I'm saying.
I love Next Wave, and I love Machine Man. Machine Man's one of the best characters in Next Wave.
I haven't actually got a chance to read all of Next Wave. I've only read it in pieces.
Cool.
So, blame Gary for that, too. Gary!
Oh, thanks. Dogpile on me.
Normally,
you're the easy target, mate.
I do this whenever I'm in a podcast with Rock, the leader of the Revolution. I like to just, like, oh, it's your fault. Well, you know what? He's not here, so... It's either you or our hosts, and I'm not going to be rude to our hosts. I'm a good person.
Oh, that's fine. I'm easy.
Unlike you, I'm a good person, Gary.
Oh,
you can be rude to evil. I don't mind.
Well, I have permission now.
I'm used to it. So back to the Hulk. Jason Aaron.
Who? Never heard of him.
Jason Aaron's our writer. Mark Silvestri and his buddy.
God.
He's got a breakdown friend or something. I don't remember his name.
We've got five artists here. We've got Sylvester.
You have a lot of artists.
We've got Joe Weems. We got Rick Basaljua. We got Sal Regla. We've got Sonny Go as the Calorist.
Also,
that's,
Michael Broussard. Assist.
Pencil assist. Michael Broussard, pencil assist.
Actually, Michael Broussard is a fantastic artist, so.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish he'd just draw it then.
Really?
Because he can actually get it done. Yeah, so the thing is, he could actually get it done on time.
Mm.
Like, he's not the fastest artist in the world, but he's faster than Silvestri.
Well, if anybody's taken a look at the advance solicitations for January, you know that Silvestri did three issues, and we're getting a break. We're getting a guest artist.
Will Sportaccio.
Oh, yeah, he's coming on. I can't remember.
Will Sportaccio. That's two Image founders on this book. It's crazy. Todd McFarlane's got issue number 5. Jim Lee, issue 6.
No.
And I'm really looking forward to issue
number
6.
And issue 5 will come out in what? 2013?
There you go.
Hey.
Issue 14 at this
2012.
Point.
2012. The end of 2012.
Oh, the horror.
The exact day of when that Mayan calendar ends.
I don't know. Is Rob Liefeld DC exclusive at this point?
I don't know at this point anymore.
Are we going to get, like, massive Hulk boobs?
Oh my God!
You know, if Captain America has boobs under Liefeld, then what are the Hulk's gonna look like?
Man, this is getting really exciting. I can't wait for
future
this
gift, anyone. Future gift.
No, I'm checking for boobs in this issue.
Joe Quesada is listening, and he's just writing this all down for different ideas. I guess that'd be Axel Alonso now, wouldn't it?
Damn. Yes.
Yeah, but Axel's much more quieter than Joe.
Yeah, he's not as Joe-ish.
But think about it this way. Axel Alonso is responsible for Bruce Jones on the Hulk.
Don't even know what that means. Don't even know what that means. Bruce Jones. My last name's Jones.
Sinatra of the Hulk.
Are you saying that I'm related to someone named Bruce? So
you might be. You never know.
Oh, okay.
What's he doing now? He works for DC now.
I haven't seen his credit in comics since, he did a Warlord series a couple of years back that got canceled about 10 issues in. So
don't even know who a Bruce Jones is.
Oh, that's where the mystery.
I thought he would be so cool because we're looking Bruce Jones, old Bruce, or Bruce Banner and Rick Jones. So we're thinking, okay, that's a perfect name for a Hulk writer. And
I never put that together before. That you're right. What a disappointment. Wow.
Moving right along.
Okay, so anybody have anything witty they want to say about this issue?
I love the fight scene. That was awesome. I love the few of the fight scenes. That were really cool.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong in life with the first when you're on your first pages, Hulk's punching a giant monster in the face. There is nothing wrong with that at all, I say.
It's also really nothing new, but...
Nothing new, but it's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
It's a giant monster. What is wrong with punching a giant monster in the face? Hulk smashing a giant monster in the face. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, the monster had family.
Probably had family.
Trying to put them through college. And Hulk's like, smash. It's just inconsiderate is all I'm saying.
I'll give you that, but maybe the kids will then grow up to be giant monsters and Hulk just to smash them in the face.
Well, that doesn't solve any problem.
Well, it's comic books. The problems are usually solved with smashing and punching in the face.
Damn it,
Except
Gary.
The Bendis book.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I can't help myself. No, I can't. I can't stop.
If you're allowed, you can say damn it, Wesley. It could, because you can make me your target. I don't care.
They both have little Ys at the end of their name. It's awesome. I just noticed that.
Wow. Well, I don't even know what to say.
Okay. So something about the opening is I do really like the opening, just for like the narration is pretty simple at first, mm-hmm. but it's effective.
Yeah.
The narration as a whole, it's not too much, which is something that a lot of writers like, say, Jeff Loeb, they like to overdo it with the narration, especially in the first issue, because in the first issue, that's just like carte blanche, just say whatever you want for the narration of the first issue. You can just pour it on. That's what a lot of writers do. And Aaron really does hold back, and he does a really good job of getting us in the Hulk's head, which I liked.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that too. It was pretty cool.
Though I admit, I haven't really seen a lot of narration from Aaron. I don't think he really does that as much as most writers do.
This is one of the first things that I've read by Jason Aaron. I mean, I'll dial that back. I have read Ghost Rider.
Okay, mm-hmm. I was going to ask if you read
Ghost Rider.
I love his Ghost Rider. That's great.
It was so cool.
It was a very fun read. And
it was so much fun.
I wasn't expecting that with Incredible Hulk. Like, I wasn't expecting that level of coolness, but it was still... You can see that he's throwing in some really cool ideas early on. Like, I don't want to get to the very end already, but the very end, you can tell he's throwing in some of those weirder ideas already, which is awesome.
Yeah, that was... I wasn't expecting what I saw at the end page. That was pretty...
Okay, get
yourself.
Right. I mean, guys, I read this probably ahead of all of you guys. I read this back at New York Comic Con, so I've had some time to stew on it, so...
Great.
Yeah, they got about half a dozen guys up on during the Hulk panel on that Sunday afternoon, and I ended up being one of them. So
very cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh wow!
Hey, sat right beside Jason Aaron on stage.
Nice.
Did you get to feel his beard?
No.
I heard that if you touch.
Oh boy!
I was thinking about making a wish, and yeah, but
well, if you rub his beard and then chant like the ancient chants. You will be granted one superpower.
Oh my god.
It's a well-known fact.
Well, you know, there is this thing with beards and Hulk riders now, you know. You have
Hawk. And there's Hulk beard in this one. There's beard
yeah, there
and
is
Hulk.
Hulk
and, we,
beard.
And the Hulk himself has a beard, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's weird because the way his beard is kind of reminds me of my dad, who was the biggest Hulk fan in the world, which just creeps the hell out of me. It's just, it's weird. It's like, hi, Dad, who is now Hulk, somehow.
Interesting.
Kind of looks like a bird, I have begun growing a little bit of face fuzz myself, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Contagious.
Okay.
You're trying to grow your own magic beard.
The power of the magic Hulk beard is within us all.
I wish I had the Dale Q on cover.
Dale Keown?
Keown.
Keown.
Whatever.
That was a good cover.
I did. I liked it. I don't know why that guy just works for Top Cow. Why doesn't Marvel give him some more money? Come on.
He's a slow artist.
Yeah.
Very slow.
I loved his run belt, though. Back in the day. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
Nothing
wrong. Really great series called The Pit.
Yes.
Yep.
Another great series. Hulk with no nose. I like
it. It's Grey Hulk with claws.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The five Pit fans are really offended by this. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
The five Pit fans that also made Gail Keown a lot of money that he didn't have to work in comics for a very long time.
There you go.
Yeah, he's been pretty much in the background. He's been kind of like Mark Silvestri. He's been off in the background pretty much for the longest time.
He drew the latest issue of Artifacts. I know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does the... 13th issue, I believe.
Yeah. Does a lot of cow stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I know he does cover... He did a Darkness / Pit miniseries a couple years back, which I really wanted to check out.
Oh, it's on Comixology, I believe. I do have it.
Oh, is it any good?
I like it. Yeah, it's funny.
I liked it too, actually. I took a look at that one.
What did you guys think?
I have read it.
You haven't read it?
I haven't read it.
Oh, wait.
He's Gary.
No doubt.
Gary!
I guess it's not Hulk, though. You can't knock him for that.
now. That's all he can read. That's all Gary knows how to read.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that and I'm sorry, that and I Vampire.
And Spider-Man. Hey, I do a Spider-Man podcast.
There you go.
Which I'm going to be checking out after this. I had no clue. I'm so sad.
I'm a frequenter of Gary's blog. I like to get his opinions on books.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've checked out. I admit I didn't really know about Gary for the longest time because I don't really go to checking out other websites as often as I used to. So I just recently heard of him when Rock messaged me. So here's our new member Gary. I'm like, oh, I'll check out his stuff. I'm like, oh, that's a good website.
Thank you.
My reaction. I shouted to myself, oh, that's a good website.
There you go.
Oh, I'm curious.
That's a hell of a compliment.
Now, I'm a big Image guy, so I liked Silvestri's art. What did you guys think of Silvestri on art? Silvestri on 1/5 of the art.
I couldn't tell, man. I didn't even really notice until I looked at the credits. I was like, I thought that was all Silvestri. Oops.
It wasn't too bad. I actually liked it. I was trying to figure out, like, see where the art split kind of. I was like, no, they went pretty seamless with it overall. I couldn't really tell.
It's probably mostly, Broussard is probably mostly backgrounds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right, Gary mentioned this on Twitter. I'm not too familiar with this, so. So does Silvestri rely on background artists often?
He relies on his stable of artists, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That is interesting. Yeah.
He does. I mean, I remember him doing his own thing back on, you know, everybody remembers Uncanny X-Men. Uh-huh. Before that, he was doing, Web of Spider-Man. Way back when Web of Spider-Man started, pretty much.
Wow, I didn't know.
And
Wow.
Yeah, he did some things. In fact, I was looking back through my old stuff the other day, and I found a Master of Kung Fu that he did the guest art for back in 1983.
Wow.
So he has been around a while. Yes.
That's for sure.
Okay.
But I like his stuff. He's appropriate for the kind of story that Jason Aaron is telling. I think.
Yeah. I agree. It's got that grit.
He also does a great beard for Hulk, so that's really where he sold me there, was the beard. I'm a big Silvestri fan because I'm an Image guy, and his art just appeals to me pretty much instantly because of my Image love. But I was prepared to have some problems with it just in case. And I thought he did a really good job. I definitely hope that Michael Broussard takes over art if Silvestri eventually has to leave the title for good, because Broussard is a fantastic artist. I also really liked the colors by Sonny Goh, who's a really good choice for... He's been at Top Cow for, I think, a couple of years now, and Marvel's really starting to kind of absorb him, I believe. I could be wrong, so... But I'm pretty sure he's mostly been Top Cow exclusive.
Hmm? Yeah, we've got a lot of the very earthy tones to the colors. You know, you have a lot of the mainline yellows and oranges and browns.
The glows, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And it looks great. I think the art was the real reason I enjoyed this issue as much. Because Aaron does leave a lot of the story to the art. He doesn't quite go as a dialogue heavy or storytelling heavy himself yet. He's doing a good job of letting Silvestri tell the story as much as he can.
And leaving the rest of us who know a thing or two just confused. Confused!
What are you...
I feel like I missed something. And like, how did this happen?
Actually, that is pretty much, I believe, something Aaron has said is a big mystery for the series.
Yeah.
He's going to be... You do have, if anybody did catch the prologue in Fear Itself number 7, I mean, it's 4 pages, we don't blame you if you didn't. you know, $4.99 for having 4 pages of Hulk in the issue. Well,
yay.
A little bit more than that. You have to remember there's a Defenders prologue in there, too.
It's right. Mike Choi with a color which doesn't work very well for him. Hooray.
Was that Sonya Obak?
Sonya Obak hasn't colored him in like a year, I think. I don't know what happened there. They were such a great team. I think it was Guru FX who colored him.
Interesting.
Or EFX. Mm-hmm. And it's EFX. Not a fit at all. A good fit at all.
Interesting.
It makes him look like a really weird version of Del Chione. Like a not like a weaker version. Okay. Mm. But you were saying about the prelude?
But yes, that was where immediately after the events of Fear Itself, we have the separation between Hulk and Banner occurred in that story.
Yeah, but
Hulk says he wants to be alone, and next thing you know, Hulk and Banner wakes up, and he's in a medical gown attached to an IV out somewhere in the middle of the desert. And he says, "Hulk, what did you do?" And
Oh, I never saw
that.
He
says, this is real, and he leaps away.
How dare you!
Spoiler alert. See, I was thinking, like, he did something, I don't know, like he purged Banner or something.
They haven't made
it sound like that, doesn't it? He makes it sound like I killed it.
What, sorry? My other question is, like, I missed the part where he breaks the hammer.
Hulk versus Dracula number 3.
Is that out?
Oh.
I gotta talk to my comic shop.
Weeks now, yes.
Was that any good? I never got a chance to read it.
I never got number 3.
You on delusionalhonesty.com.
I never got number 3.
It's not that. It's the best out of the 3 issues.
Damn it, man. I didn't get the
book. And that's not saying much because the rest of the series wasn't very good.
No, I agree.
Oh, okay.
I like the art.
My reaction when I heard of this mini was, I would be buying the hell out of this mini if it wasn't a Fear Itself tie-in. Like,
well,
Hulk
yeah.
versus Dracula. That should be
it
awesome.
It did things that should have been in the main Fear Itself series, but they weren't, and that seems to be part and parcel for the whole crossover. You know, you have large pieces of the story that should be told in the main book and weren't.
Yes.
The more I think about Fear Itself, the more I hate Fear Itself.
That's another horror story altogether.
But yes, he broke the hammer and freed Null from the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be causing trouble for the Defenders in the future.
Right. Yeah.
See, then I was thinking that because of this, he's now purged whatever Null from possessing him. Maybe he figured out a way to purge Banner the same way.
I think the hint is that some entity helped him. Someone mysterious helped him. Mm-hmm.
Well, when Gary said with the IV,
scientific, because you do have Banner waking up and he's in a hospital gown and he's attached to this IV.
Yeah,
although it's in the desert, so what? Really?
It was Scar. Scar's been a doctor the whole time.
Yeah, where is that guy?
Hey, Dr. Scar, medicine.
Apparently, he's a Dark Avenger because Bendis has never read the Son of Hulk mini. I mean, series.
He says, "Oh, he could get along with Osborn."
Yeah, he's a villain, right? You know, he kills people for fun. He's evil.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, sure, that's exactly what happened, Brian. Just, you do that. You do that in your not-in-continuity New Avengers series.
But so
I'm not as familiar with Son of Hulk, so don't mind me on this one. I'm just not as familiar with that series.
Speaking of Son of Hulk and Scar and Sikar and everything that happened with Greg Pak's Planet Hulk, the beginning of this story, in fact, large pieces of it, reminded me directly of the early parts of Planet Hulk.
Yeah, me too.
His own thing in this alien landscape. In that case, it was Sikar. In this case, it's among this secret sect of Moloids who, for some odd reason, do have both sexes.
Moloids with breasts. No, please, no. I don't need that.
Yes, Moloids with boobs. Yes.
Brian,
I could say, I wish I could unsee that. Really?
You know, there's two fans out there thinking best cosplay ever next year.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. But you have, and then you have the same attitude from the Hulk. You know, everything's fine until, you know, he says, they're coming. And of course, dum-dum-dum, they're coming.
Yep.
For sure. Only this time, it was a lady with robots. Or was it? But I definitely see what you're saying. I got that same vibe.
You have Amanda Von Doom, no relation.
Yeah.
And you
have a new character
with boots.
Is she a new character, by the way?
As far as I can tell, yes, she's new.
She's got a scar, so that means she must be in a good character.
Or she's also, from the future.
Also an outfit that must be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, she's got damaged goods. Yeah, if she moves the wrong way, she'll cut herself.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe that's how she got the scar.
I mean, isn't that uncomfortable to have that kind of outfit that's just...
Looks tight.
It's Mark Silvestri.
It does look very form-fitting.
Yes. It's a very Top Cow-looking suit, actually, when I think about it.
That's what I was trying to think of.
She could join us, I forget their name now, Cyberforce.
Yes.
And she'd fit just in... Amanda Von Doom. Ripclaw, let's team up!
I love the Hulk's dialogue when they meet. Leave while your bones are still unshattered. There you go. That's it all.
What did you guys think of the narration for Hulk? Did you guys think that was good?
That was him in his head, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Hulk's narration.
I liked his narration. It was very nice, basic, to the point. It basically fit the Hulk, in my opinion.
Right. Hulk doesn't mince words.
No.
You know, the Hulk
Hulk's very to the point.
It uses an economy of words all the time.
Mm-hmm. I liked that, too. I thought it was very effective just getting us in the Hulk's head and establishing who his character is for new readers. You don't have to have read Hulk for 100 years to understand his dialogue here. It's very simple and effective, also.
And I think if you wouldn't, or didn't even, like if you weren't familiar with anything other than the movies and you came into this, wouldn't you be intrigued that he could talk?
Yeah, actually. I'm still waiting for the movie that lets him say a whole sentence.
Yeah.
It's going to happen eventually. He said like 2 words, I think, in The Incredible Hulk. If they ever make a sequel, he's going to form like half a sentence.
He did say leave me alone in the
beginning
2008 movie.
Did he?
He did.
I'm going to be marathoning all these movies come November, so I'm going to be listening for that, Gary. And if you're wrong,
he's right.
It's literally in the movie. It's the first time he changes into the Hulk.
Yeah.
You just barely hear it, but it's there.
Yeah.
All right, Gary. I'll get you off the hook this time.
No, it's real. Just turn up your stereo next time you're watching it. You'll hear it.
Okay.
Okay. So, wow.
So, yes, we have... Amanda Von Doom coming and saying that it's not the Hulk that's the problem anymore.
And then we get all, what, Gamma Evolutionary?
Introduce us to the Boar Brothers.
Yeah, those are interesting. I'm like, what in the world are these things? Like giant mutated boars from hell or some crap like that. Got some... Jeez.
Very much reminds me of the High Evolutionary and his little planet of animal.
Yeah, I like that. That thinks
the syntax of the Boar Brothers. Anybody sort of place that in context? You could very easily draw some parallels to the old Savage Hulk.
I guess so. Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of heard that dialogue. Like, yeah, this is kind of like the typical cheesy dumb Hulk dialogue that you'd hear from Jeff Loeb. Sorry. I don't mean to throw the hate.
You're allowed to throw the hate against Jeff Loeb. You are allowed to throw all the hate you want against him.
I hated Ultimatum! Sorry.
Thank you!
Oh, I loved Ultimatum!
You know what, Evil? You know what?
We already got into this with
him.
Come
on, Blob Hungry!
Goodbye!
We shame him.
We've already gotten run over for this once or twice. So.
Shame!
Yes, Wesley.
But yeah, we used to have gamma-irradiated vegetables, gamma-irradiated poultry, a couple gamma-irradiated people. Now we have some more gamma-irradiated animals. Anybody remember Sirius from the Bill Mantlo run? Okay.
Wow. I really need to read more Hulk.
Yeah, my history of the Hulk is I've read a good chunk of the Peter David run and Greg Pak. And I know about all the other ones. I've heard about them. I've heard what happens. But my knowledge of Hulk is not encyclopedic, like a certain person named Gary Miller.
All hail Gary.
Yes.
Hail Gary.
Teach us, O wise one, what of this Mantlo person you speak of?
There was an issue. It was back during the 290s. I think it was 294 and 295. Banner was experimenting with applications of gamma rays to heal the world, and there was family.
Their
dog
idea.
Got run over, or something, or I don't remember what happened. But Banner irradiated the dog, and it was fine, except it turned green. Fine for a few more weeks until one day late at night it attacked the family and they had to kill it.
Yeah.
So.
Hooray!
Gary, this is all right before Secret War.
That was right before Secret War.
Yeah,
you
I know
correct.
Exactly what you're talking about. Great too,
wow.
Brother.
Wow.
And for that matter, General Riker used gamma dogs back during Dogs of War, back around the last full volume of Incredible Hulk, number 14.
Don't forget the amazing gamma poodles from the awesome Hulk movie from Ang Lee.
Well, that was that was from the
what?
That was referencing Dogs of War. So.
There was Gamma Poodles in the 2003, I think? 2004,
yeah, that was that was referencing the Incredible Hulk 14.
Hulk Dick, Dick Punch.
That was
the
where they got that idea from. So,
I've still never seen that Ang Lee movie. I'm not sure I really want to.
You don't need to see it, Wesley. You don't
want
to.
No.
I like it, but just watch
you,
the whole person.
Gary. Damn it, Gary.
This is not a discussion about the Hulk 2003 movie. This is a discussion about Incredible Hulk number one. Let's go.
Damn it, Gary.
I always apologize every time I bring it up, so I apologize.
I'm kind of curious, did anyone else have a problem with the pacing of the issue? Because I didn't hate the pacing of the issue. It's just that it suffers from the typical first issue syndrome of being mostly just an introduction to the whole thing. And not really having as much interesting stuff to really hook you, which is usually what the second or third issues do.
And that should be the job of the first issue.
Right. Yeah, the first issue is the one that's supposed to tell you need to buy this.
Whereas like this issue, if you're a new reader coming on board, you see, okay, there's the Hulk doing this thing in this alien environment, and he talks about, oh, he killed Banner, but then, okay, well, he killed everything in him that was Banner, and then you see Banner is being very much a mad scientist type, making animals like the like the island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that they showed preview pages already at the very back with Betty and Rick. That's kind of strange. I didn't expect that.
Oh, I didn't look at that stuff.
Rick, I don't think, but we're definitely seeing Betty Red She-Hulk there, yeah.
Oh, you know why? Because I read this on the digital, and it doesn't have this on the digital copy.
Wow, that's stupid.
Wow.
That kind of sucks.
I'm really excited to see what Betty's going to do, but I think she's just going to be there just to establish, okay, here's Betty. Go read Defenders!
Yeah.
That could happen easily, actually, considering how everything's really cross-tying lately in Marvel Land. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, all the appearances the Hulk is going to have in Defenders, I mean, he's clean-shaven, so that kind of tells me that it's happening before this.
Well, I think Jason Aaron admit that this isn't going to last, them being separated?
No, it's not going to last. I mean, heck, this has happened. This is the fifth time they've been separated.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all know as fans it's not going to last, but as the long-time readers who just expect this kind of stuff not to last. It's like the new Ghost Rider. Oh, she's going to be around for another 5 minutes. And we know they're going to be back together by the Avengers movie.
Yeah, you have a movie coming out 2012?
What?
We have we have a movie coming out 2012. We can't keep the Hulk separated for this for too long. So
get the status back in quo, good sir.
Quickly.
I really want to see what Aaron does with Red She-Hulk because Greg Pak made me like her character, and I'm now invested to see what she does. But I have a feeling it's just setting her up for Defenders. So
I don't like her. Like I like Betty, but I don't like her when she's Red She-Hulk.
I hated her as Red She-Hulk, but Greg Pak she's really rude. I think. She's rude.
I never really read too much of the Red She-Hulk or too much of Greg Pak's run outside. Like the last time I really paid attention to Hulk was probably Planet Hulk. Yeah, now you can say the damn it, Wesley, because I haven't really read Greg Pak's Hulk since Planet Hulk. So that's and I've been trying to keep up to as much as I can with other writers, but really it was like Planet Hulk was the one that really grabbed me, and nothing else really did grab me outside of Planet Hulk.
Right.
Well, Greg Pak did a good thing. Planet Hulk really segues into World War Hulk really well. They're
and
really
I
one
love
story.
World War Hulk. Yes. I love World War Hulk. It's so much fun to read.
True.
And the last year of Incredible Hulks, although to some degree they kind of overdid it with all these Hulks running around, I thought it really explored the Hulk's psychology well within that sort of how shall we say it, post-nuclear family.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pak really did a good job of just setting up the whole Incredible Hulks with all the different Hulks. And Red She-Hulk, as Evil said, was not a likable character. She's very rude. And Pak doesn't ditch that. He doesn't go, oh, well, she's just misunderstood and she's a big sweetheart. He doesn't
Pak,
ditch
sir.
That character. Pak, okay. Sorry, Gary.
She's a Hulk, that's for sure.
I know him. I've seen him. I've seen him at a few shows, and so yeah, it's Pak.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
Although,
Pak, sorry, and he's done a good job of making her interesting and likable without ditching the fact that she's a bit of a jerk. I like that.
Yes, thank
you. I'm not super invested in their relationship or anything, because let's be honest, it's the Hulk. If it's a relationship, it's going to be over in 10 days at the most. It's like The Ring. You got 7 days left to date her. So, but I still really like Red She-Hulk now.
Right.
Almost enough that I want to check out Defenders, but then there's the whole Matt Fraction thing, so I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Gary, I don't mean to interrupt you. The only reason why Defenders is, like, I'm still iffy on because of the fact, like, I like Fraction for the most part. Really, I like him mainly Casanova, but honestly, the big thing about Defenders for me is the fact that it ties in so much in the Fear itself, and like I said, most of Fear itself is sort of me going, yeah, about that, I really want this to be over now. Please move on, Marvel.
It didn't work out the way it was supposed to, I don't think. As Gary pointed out earlier, all Fear itself never even actually started. The main series. So.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Fear itself, is it never even started, let alone ended. So.
It just keeps going like the Energizer Bunny, you want to stop.
It's still House of M.
We're still on House of M.
Yeah.
We are still on House of M.
We are technically, I guess, because that's set up
everything. There's still 198 mutants. I mean, they're going to keep
now
that.
Now it's 197.
Yeah, 197.
Who died? Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler and a bunch of other people that no one ever cared about.
Didn't his universal counterpart from Age of Apocalypse take his place?
I have no idea what's going on with that.
That's what I've heard. And I was reading Wolverine and the X-Men this past week, and what? There's a lot of little Nightcrawlers running around. I'm like, what?
Oh, he's got a bunch of brothers. That's from Greg Rucka, I think.
Really?
Is it Rucka's run? When they try to explain Nightcrawler's heritage, who his father was. We already know Mystique is his mother.
Oh, no. His heritage was explained. My God. That was back in the run of. Yeah, Runaway Screaming Now. Chuck Austin.
That's it, Chuck Austin. My bad. Greg Rucka, what am I saying?
The name of Curse, you bring up.
Damn it, right. Gary!
Yeah, that's why we brought Gary on, because he's going to drop some knowledge.
He did do some good things as an artist, anyway.
That was the Draco line.
He was artist for a few issues of Miracle Man. So, you know.
Really?
We can't hold that against him too much.
We can try.
We can hold against him the porn, but, you know, we can...
There was porn.
World Watch.
World Watch. That was porn.
Wait.
And Angel dating Husk?
Oh, yeah.
The whole Guthrie family saga. Oh, God.
There's nothing funnier than just listening to nerds go, it's so much fun. I love being a nerd. I have those books.
That's why I'm growing.
I love being a nerd. I just love getting angry about this stuff.
Nerd rage.
Yes.
Rage.
Well, one of us is named Evil, so he's the one who's not raging for some reason.
Never mind.
It's just interesting that your mother named you Evil.
Isn't it?
Yes. I mean, my name's weird, but it's not different. Evil.
There you go.
I like it though. You got a nickname. Spider tattoo.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, sort of conclusion about all this stuff about Incredible Hulk. What's everybody think about Banner at the end?
Squirrely.
I liked it.
Beard.
Curious.
He's got the
it's
beard.
Like I say, we've got this. Yeah, really, we're losing sympathy for Banner by the hour here.
I don't know. I'm concerned. Like, what's going on, Bruce? Losing your shit because Hulk's gone. It always seems like they're destabilized whenever they're separated.
I mean, yeah, he did go a little bit over the deep end when he separated under Byrne.
Right.
You had him take on a very much Thunderbolt Ross vibe.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Never read those issues, actually.
Oh, well, yeah, he's got his own gang of Hulkbusters.
Yes, available now. Marvel Visionaries, John Byrne, Volume 1, sir. Collect it today.
Ooh.
Nice.
Cha-ching.
Plug.
I may have edited the book a little.
And then you can read some of my blog entries about that run and where they were going afterward. But
there you go.
I'll tweet about it.
Yeah, there's some unusual things going on with Banner. Like I said, I don't think we know the full story, but it seems like, you know, the whole actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, it's definitely continuing.
Yeah, mutating mutating animals. So
fun.
Weird mutating.
Looking for something. Yeah, and that's what makes a great villain. He thinks his intentions are pure and true, and he's trying to fix something, some way.
Right, and I think it's I've written about this before. It feels very much so a continuation of what Greg Pak, there you go, Gary, was doing, where he established that Banner is not a very good person. He was very clear. Banner is a hero essentially, but he's not the best kind of hero. He does less than good things to get the results he needs. Yeah. Like in World War Hulks, when he was trying to save Betty. He's like, you know, I can kill off all these heroes if it means I get a night with Betty. That's fine with me. And
he was manipulating all the heroes to get done what he needed to have done. Exactly.
Right. He's very much so a manipulative person. And if you were to go to the dark side, you would make a very good villain, because he's a very smart person, and he knows how to do what needs to be done, and that's not the kind of person you want trying to blow up the world.
And he's, what, the fourth smartest, I think?
I thought it was third. Fourth?
I don't know. It's...
Peter Parker's number one, right?
I think, what, Reed Richards would be number one?
Yeah, Reed Richards is number one.
I don't know.
And there's Doctor Doom.
Doom would be up near there.
He's gotta be number two.
It's because he's Doom.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You just say Doom and you don't come off as silly, then you're like number two or three. He's the smartest people in the world. But I definitely think it's a good continuation of what Greg Pak was doing. But it still I can definitely feel like it's gonna be its own thing, where Jason Aaron's gonna take Banner, and I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah. I can see the point of having Hulk be the sort of good guy here and Banner being the bad guy, and that whole idea of being given literal lip service with this.
I'm hopeful that Jason Aaron doesn't paint this too black and white, where, oh, Banner is just a crazy nut who needs to be put down.
I hope so too. That's one of the points that I raised at the panel. I'm like, really? Do we want to really go this far and make Banner an unsympathetic character?
Well, that's the thing is he'd make a good sympathetic villain if he were to become
not looking crazy like he did on the last page of this story. He wouldn't.
He did look very nuts. But like, I think as long as there's
really,
no shape.
Come on, can we have that a little bit understated, please?
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Nah, if you're gonna go there, you just gotta go there.
Yeah. He's got the beard. He's got the eyes. Okay, he looked really nuts. Pop.
I wonder if he's getting poisoned. Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there, because, I mean, if there's no more Hulk, maybe that's gone, his immunity.
Oh, maybe. Occur to me. I think it's just that he's kind of relied on the Hulk as his outlet for all of his anger, and then now that's gone. And what did Greg Pak say in issue number 613, with Wolverine and Dakin, where he said something like, the Hulk was made to protect the world from me. Well, Banner said that, not Pak, whatever.
Right.
And that's pretty much a continuation of that line, is that, you know, Banner's the real threat. Banner's the one who invented a bomb. Hulk didn't invent a bomb. Banner's the one who invented the big bomb that could just waste everything. True. Well, you're confusing me. You're confusing me.
Groovy sense, but...
God.
Oh,
sorry.
Lord.
He's a groovy bomb. This is the 70s podcast brought to you by Nerds on the Rocks.
Word up, cats. All right.
Dig it, daddy.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
I don't know. I'm definitely on board for the ride. I'm always on board, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is a house of cards, and upon closer examination, because they could really go off the rails with Banner.
Right.
But for right now, I'm on board.
It all depends, really.
I mean, why not? They did it with the ultimate Reed Richards. I mean, he's sideways now, right?
Yeah, that's ultimate.
He's all the way sideways, isn't he? I haven't even been reading it, so...
Oh, yeah, he slipped his lid.
They still publish Ultimate Comics? I thought they ended that in, like, 2008.
Mock me if you will, but I buy them.
Actually, it's funny that I say that, because because you mentioned the fact that I got quoted by books before we started recording, and that's one of the few books I got quoted on was Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 1.
Right.
In stores now.
There you go.
Buy it for my name on the back.
Do you get royalties for that?
I wish.
No.
I wasn't even told. It was out for like a year, and I had no clue. Then Brandon messages me on Twitter like, oh, hey, did you know your name is on Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 1? I think that you should at least have the courtesy of letting someone know if you're going to quote them on your book.
Yeah.
Like, just give me a Twitter message, Marvel. It's fine. I won't bite. I know I'm very rude to you and all the other articles I write, but I promise I won't bite.
There you go.
Well, I can't promise it, but...
You said nice things about the book. Of course they're going to print it.
That's it's funny, though, but I am a pretty big critic of Marvel's editorial stuff, and they've quoted me twice, and I just find that hilarious. I am not a Marvel zombie who likes to talk about them often favorably, so it's just silly. It's like, you really didn't read all this other stuff, getting pissed off about all the reboots and renumberings and everything.
Well, I don't mind this
sometimes
one.
When you kiss a little ass, you get a quote on the back of the book.
Yeah, ask our buddy Dylan. last year he got his name in, what, 7 different books or something?
I don't know. 7 books.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
That's cool. I know I got quoted for Amazing Spider-Man, like a tweet, I think, is what they quoted, actually. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
I got quoted on the back of Incredible Hulk's Dark Sun, so, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. You should give me that book now.
Really?
I'm going to go look at it.
And special thanks in the back of Greg Pak's Vision Machine trade paperback. So, you know, hey.
You're upsetting me, Gary.
Holy crap.
I got that digitally.
I'm very upset now.
Very cool. Gary?
Hey, I had to register my domain name because Marvel got it wrong on the back of the Dark Sun hardcover. So.
Oh. Huh.
Wow.
Ow.
Actually, that's a... My name has been misspelled a few times.
Like, well, they got my website wrong. It used to be .blogspot.com, and they had it just delusionalhonesty.com. And I'm
Well, then they got to change it, so it's better that way.
So I had to pay $10 and register it. So
I would do too.
Oh,
that's still pretty cool, though.
Yeah, man, nothing wrong with that.
We're all jealous.
I have no claims to fame. I got Chaos War book.
You have the little baby girl who smashes things with her little Hulk arms. That's your claim to fame. She's going to make you famous, Evil.
I hope so. She knows who Doom is. That's all that matters.
She what? Hulk. She knows who Dr. Doom is? Well,
oh, yeah, okay. She does.
She's already awesome then.
Yeah. She knows who Hulk is.
Therefore, she's going to write it one day. And she's going to say, to my dad, Evil.
I don't.
What is that?
That's a nice thought. I'm going to dream about that when we're done here. I like that.
Nice.
She's playing with her toys and like, now think up of a scenario for the Hulk. Besides hitting the doll.
What were we talking about? We were talking about Mary Jane being the new Scarlet Spider on one episode. And I asked her, I said, Maya, what do you think if Mary Jane turns out to be Scarlet Spider? Are you going to be mad like your daddy? She said, Hulk smash.
Well, I don't think you need to worry about that at all. I think we all kind of know who the new Scarlet Spider is.
Yes.
Venom.
It's Venom.
Actually, I don't want to go on a tangent, but I'm actually getting really excited for that series now.
Well, I got I saw Ryan Stegman at New York, and I do have his first ever sketch of who actually is ending up being the Scarlet Spider. So hey, you know. Okay.
That's cool.
Dang, nice.
Yeah,
something we don't.
If you've read the last part of Spider Island, really do know who the new Scarlet Spider is.
Yeah.
Can I just mention how funny it is that Dan Slott's got two really cool looking titles spinning out of his run. Venom has been excellent, and that's spun out of his run. Spun, web joke, and then Scarlet Spider's coming out January.
Right,
and that's
it's not Ben Reilly, but hey, you know, and in fact, it's interesting cycle from a psychological point of view. Who is going to be the Scarlet Spider, and who is taking on Ben Reilly's old mantle?
I guess it hasn't been confirmed who we all figure it is. It hasn't been officially confirmed, but I think we all know it's that person with that thing who does that time.
Yeah.
Wait.
For sure.
I confused myself.
I haven't read the issue, so I'm not sure what's going on. I'm actually not sure who it is, so I've heard rumors, but I haven't heard officially yet, so.
It's the new Ghost Rider.
Oh. Okay.
Alejandra. She's going to get booted the second the movie comes out, so she's got to do something. So they're going to let her be Scarlet Spider.
That book, never mind.
I haven't been following Ghost Rider either, so.
It's got some problems. I like the first arc overall, but
sure.
Evil's just like, I'm writing all this all down for the next podcast.
I don't know. Ghost Rider number one, they lost me when the artist had this beautiful 2-page spread of Ghost Rider and all of his enemies, and they drew the wrong Lilith.
Really? I didn't even notice. I was just like, this sucks.
Wait a minute.
This sucks.
They drew the Dracula's daughter Lilith instead of the Lilith from the Midnight Suns.
Right.
Oh.
And it stuck out like a sore thumb to me.
Oh, my God.
And I talked to the artist at New York Comic Con, and he's like, well, yeah, I just wanted to draw that one.
That's not how you do it.
Dude, busted. Really? Not cool.
Is that Lilith even around still, or did she die?
She hasn't.
I asked Gary because he knows everything.
But I don't think she's dead.
Okay, because I really liked her back in the old Ghost Rider ongoing. She was a great villain.
I just got a commission piece saw off of someone at the Comic Con.
Oh, cool.
So wow. I go after the weird the weird material for sketches. So
I got sketches. It would just be spot.
I also got a page out of World War Hulk number 2 from Romita and Jansen. So
wow.
Oh, cool.
What page was it? Because
it's the page where Rick comes up to the Hulk and tells him Cap's dead.
That was a really good page. I always remember that moment because isn't it just like one panel of just Hulk silent for a moment?
Yep, that's the page.
He's like, oh man.
Wow,
and then,
cool.
Of course, Doctor Strange is like, nope, we got 5 more issues. I mean,
yeah,
3 more issues.
Yeah, they were both at the show, so I actually have I got the piece signed by both of them.
That is the most awesome thing in the history of awesome things. Damn it, Gary!
Yeah.
It's been a little while since I did
that.
Dude. Like, the one time I went to a convention, I went to San Diego, and I was not prepared to be early enough to ask for commissions or sketches and stuff like that. Every time I'd see an artist I was interested in, the line was closed or wasn't taking anymore.
I've only gotten one commission in my life. And it was by an inker/artist called Randy Stradley, who I guess used to work on Spider-Man a lot in the 90s.
And you mean Randy? Randy Stradley's an editor with Dark Horse. You mean Randy Emberlin?
Oh yes, yes. How did you know to do that?
The man's an encyclopedia.
Holy crap!
That's impressive, eh, Wesley?
I'm scared,
dude.
Yes, it was Randy Emberlin. He was at the Portland Comic Book Show, which I've only been to twice. And Secret Invasion number 1 just came out, and I got the blank variant because I wanted to get like one of the artists see if they'd do it. And most of the artists were either busy or I didn't like them. So for $10, it was 20. I said, "Hey, draw Ben Reilly, but with a scroll chin." It was awesome. So it's like, he was a scroll.
I do have a Secret Invasion number 1, one of the blank covers. Ooh. And you're gonna love mine, or at least any old time Marvel fans would love the idea of mine. I got ROM by Sal Buscema on the front cover of mine.
Awesome!
Whoa!
And on the back cover, I have Michael Golden did a Dire Wraith, so that's the real Secret Invasion.
I know Michael Golden did Spawn covers recently. That's all I know.
They still that's make that book?
No, they just print it for me.
Oh.
They just print out like 2 pages for the cover and back, and then fill it with blank paper and send it to me. Like, oh, draw whatever you want to happen, Andron. Thank you, Todd.
Sounds accurate for some reason.
Actually.
Oh my God. Not funny. It's not funny at all. It's not even really funny. I don't know.
It's hilarious.
Well, I'm smiling.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
Here to here.
I'm one of the 3 people that read Spawn.
I used to read Spawn for a long time.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah. Was the main character's name?
Al Simmons.
Or damn Clown. It.
Violator.
Damn it.
Man, I collected about 79 issues, I believe, in a row, and then I was like, fuck it.
You lasted longer than me. I think I got to around 60.
Mm. I think you lasted longer than most fans, actually.
Capullo really started getting good in around the 30 issues I found, and that was it.
Capullo was
maybe that's when
weaker.
He took over permanently, wasn't it?
Yeah, Capullo was weaker early on,
right.
But he really grew on that title.
Oh, man, did he?
And now he's kicking ass on Batman.
Oh, man, is
yes.
He?
Oh, yes. Love that book.
Absolutely. But wait, you guys, it's drawn by a Spawn artist, therefore it can't be good.
What? No, that's the only reason I tried it. I was like, this might be good. Surprised it was.
Have you read anything else by Scott Snyder before?
I've got Severed.
Oh, right. I remember you tweeting about that. You tweeting how confused you were.
It seemed a little slow. The last couple issues are okay, but...
Right. I liked the first issue. I thought it was
scared.
Really good.
That's my problem with it.
I was... I don't want to say totally scared, but I was kind of creeped out by the final page of the first issue.
I get more creepies out of Hellraiser.
Sorry. It's an instant habit. When I hear that, I just start singing the song. It's an old habit I should try and kick.
Was that Ozzy?
I can't even remember.
I think so.
I haven't heard it in a while. I just sing it.
My girl.
But about Spawn, yeah, that it's reached issue number 200.
Wow.
And it's dipped in quality quite a lot. David Hein really energized the title on issue number 150 when he brought in the whole Armageddon story arc. And then he got booted, and it's been just been a mess.
Last thing I heard, they brought in a new guy, and I was like, well, I'm not interested in that.
David Hein was the new guy.
No, I mean the new character.
Oh yeah, Jim. Yeah, Al is dead, supposedly, and again. Jim is the new Spawn.
What the?
He's dead.
Oh, okay.
And Jim is the new Spawn, but he's got his face. And
it makes no sense because from what I knew, man, it was supposed to be, what, every 200 years or is it 400 years that a Spawn suit
supposedly
gets to
be? It was every 200 years. McFarlane himself broke that rule all the time.
Wowza.
All the time.
Wowza.
Yes, he's like, every 200 years, oh, look, another new Spawn. Wasn't it just 50 years? Oh, look, another new Spawn. That was just 2 days ago.
Yeah, they keep spawning Spawns.
Well, to be fair, you have to say that it's like,
Spawn now.
Yeah, I'm breaking all these rules. I got to pay for these signed baseballs. Still.
Must have more money for my stuff.
Yeah. Sure, I'm glad that guy bought my hockey team.
He lives here in town.
Where you live?
I'm in Phoenix.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? He's from my country.
He lives in town. There's a McFarlane toy store on the west side of town.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Wow.
The last
I can't knock the man's
figures?
Toys, you know? I liked them. I still do some of them.
It'd be nice if he made Spawn toys again.
What's that?
He hasn't made Spawn toys in like 3 or 4 years.
Spawn series, but he does the sports stuff still.
Yeah.
That's all the store is. It's really like 99% of it is his sports stuff. It's not even comics.
That's depressing.
That is.
Wow.
But
that's what he likes. So he can't.
This is how much he thinks of the industry.
Yeah.
I remember Robert Kirkman pretty much brought him back. If not for Robert Kirkman, he still wouldn't be doing anything. Maybe if not for Robert Kirkman, David Hein would still be writing. Oh, well.
Was that a joke?
David Hein was great.
I met him last year. I got my Hulk 340 signed. So,
did David Hein write Hulk 340? Oh, Todd McFarlane. Okay.
McFarlane, yeah.
We're talking like 50 different things, so I'm thinking, okay, let's roll back. McFarlane, Kirkman, Hein, I don't know anymore.
Everything you know is wrong. Black is white, up and down, and short is long.
Thank you, Weird Al.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
That's very cool. I can't believe we filled a whole hour of Hulk talk, sort of. I'm impressed.
Kind of.
Dang.
I mean, when I bring up the Hulk, usually nobody else has read it, and they're all like, uh-huh,
you know,
I want to check it out, but I don't read it. And I'm like, you guys suck.
You know, these are bad people. I'm sorry.
So this is why I brought you guys in. You guys rule.
Actually, yay. Eric, you'd appreciate this. I know I tweeted you about this, but I bought the Hulk specifically for this podcast just so I can be able to talk about it a little bit more better than what I normally would outside of, what?
And you still learned something, didn't you?
Heck yeah, I did.
There you go.
Damn it, Andy.
The only bad thing about the book so far is the logo.
I don't like
about that.
Yeah, the logo is weird.
It's a callback to the 70s logo, but it doesn't quite work.
I like
that. And the early promo images, they showed the 70s Hulk logo on the front of that book, but they changed it.
I definitely think the original logo is the better looking one because it's the bricks and everything, mm-hmm. and it looks cool.
I'm not talking about the bricks logo.
The flat matte, just big Hulk, right?
I meant I like the original
logo.
Sort of
like the one that's on this book, but it's better.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's the one from when I was growing up and first reading the book, so, you know.
You're all old.
I might be just a little bit biased.
You're old and
I'm
young.
Exactly.
I will live longer than all of you.
Well, how old are you?
20.
He's old enough to know better.
I just turned 20. You don't have to know better than to insult your hosts. I'm sorry.
What? Did you insult me? I missed it. Damn.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's calculate back and do is that you can do the math on your own time. First issue I got of the Hulk was number 272, and I was 3 years old. So,
and I was
backtrack the math and do what you will, but do it after this podcast.
There you go.
Toddler Gary in green paint. Walking around in green paint, his parents just getting upset with him. What are you doing, little Gary? And he's like, I'm gonna read the Hulk.
Hulk's never mind. I like Hulk. I guess we're gonna wrap it up here. I kind of have a work to do.
Outside
of Hulk.
Damn it!
I would like to thank you both very much for participating.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I had a blast talking Hulk, Spawn, Spider-Man, Scarlet Spider, Venom.
X-Men a little bit.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, a little bit of X-Men. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, thank you guys for inviting me as well.
That was fun.
You're welcome.
You'd asked a while ago, and I knew this Hulk book was coming up, and I was like, this is going to be perfect.
I convinced Evil to let you come on.
No, you didn't.
You're welcome. No. can't I have my little dream?
Andrew was trying to backdoor you, but I was like, we can all come on at the same time.
Oh. Yeah. Well, now their illusion's ruined.
Damn you, Andrin.
It's been reversed!
it's now reversed on you, sir.
It's like when you say my name backwards, it takes away all my power and I disappear.
Beep. Nerd and nay. Oh, was I supposed to say the Jones part backwards, too?
No.
Snodge.
Nyan.
Andrin.
Kipple scam.
So thanks again, guys.
All right.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yay.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
I am so excited for Halloween. My office is having a costume party, and I'm gonna go as Count Voorhees, which is me with a Dracula cape and a Jason mask.
Okay.
Nice.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna go serial killer or whatever sociopath. They look like anybody else.
Yeah. That's the lamest thing ever, Gary. Nice. I'm not gonna lie, that's very lame. You should go as Red She-Hulk.
God help us.
Not even remotely gonna go there.
I'm going trick or treating for the first time in 20 years. It's gonna be awesome.
Oh, is it with your daughter or just you?
No.
Okay.
Not too big. I've been too big since I was like 11. You're a little tall, aren't you? Come on, I'm only 11.
I want candy!
Candy, damn it!
You're only 11. Well, I think you'd sell that excuse a little bit more if you didn't have your shaving stubble there. Yeah.
There you go. Right.
I'm only 11. Your ID says you're 30.
Well, so gentlemen, this should be up on Wednesday. I'll make sure that you're included in the hashtag.
Terrific.
Yay.
Yay!
Looking forward to it.
I'll get Earl to help me, and maybe I'll put your guys' links to your websites and such.
Yeah, I'll retweet and I'll link to the site for the podcast from my website as well.
Awesome. So we're gonna kick Nerds on the Rocks' ass. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Again.
Hey.
Yeah.
Nerds on the Rocks. Episode, I'm confused.
Yeah. How did the episode with my friend Marlene end up doing in hits wise?
40
so far?
Hits in 2 hours. That's the last time I checked. I was like, God damn, we're in trouble. People are listening.
And now we have to have some quality.
Like, he listened to it because he was like, thanks for the kind words and blah blah blah.
Dude, he followed me the moment I followed him.
Dude. Who's following you?
Joshua Williamson.
The guy who just never walks.
Yeah, Josh Williamson. I think he follows me. I was like, I picked up so many pros this past week. It was ridiculous. I'm like, okay, Gregory Wright used to be a Marvel writer and editor back in the 90s, and Tony Parker, who's doing Dead Man's Run with Greg Pak.
Scott Snyder's following me.
You know,
You did a big speech with him, though, or interviewed him.
I've done two podcasts with him.
That's awesome.
Two podcasts. And he's very nice. Let's see. I know the guy, Jeff Womester, is following me. John Goff, one of the writers of Spawn. I say one of because there's like three people writing Spawn right now.
Wow.
Well, supposedly Will Carlton is the writer. I don't know. This guy's written like 10 issues and they're all terrible. And then John Goff said he was writing, and I'm like, and then it got a little better.
A little. By the way, you guys were talking about mentions earlier and like different things. The only two things I've really gotten was my two biggest ones was I did a review on the Mega Man number one for Archie once, and I got a mention from Archie on their That's Twitter cool. one time. And then I did
the review where I said fuck 15 times.
And then the other time I got mentioned was by, and then I got that when I did Last of the Greats review, I got mentioned by the artist and the writer of that book, Jack Fiakov and
Gary interviewed Josh.
Yeah, I interviewed Josh. I wished I would have been able to meet him in New York, but he's a good guy. In fact, within the next day or two, I have to edit an iVampire piece, and I actually interviewed his original creator, John Mark DeMatteis.
Holy crap!
So that's what the JM stands for.
I've John been Mark, wondering yeah, for he years. Goes by Mark, but
that's amazing.
It was funny. The first day he was on Twitter, I complimented him, and next thing I know, he's following me. So it's like he's one of my idols.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And I DM'd him a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, can I ask you a couple questions about the original iVampire? And he said, sure, send them on.
He said, no.
That would have been one of the things we would have reviewed if we had gotten outside of the Hulk stuff.
There you go. I like that book. Issue 2 was awesome.
iVampire's really good.
That's
I got a chance to read issue number 1. It was really good. I was pretty much in the majority thinking, oh, man, GC vampire book, so dope-ed. And then I checked it out. I'm like, oh, okay, it's not.
I was fearing Twilight initially until...
That's what everyone kept saying.
Yeah, and then, yeah. Gary, you're the one that DM'd me that said, it's not Twilight at all. I'm like, thank God. You're the one that got me to get
it's
that
Eclipse.
Book, Gary, was.
Oops.
It's only getting better, and the Eye Vampire, it's going to be a different focus on a different vampire for the first few issues. It's a different Eye Vampire.
I noticed that. That's kind of cool.
That's cool.
But yeah, and I got my biggest publicity for my website last week, man. Yeah. After I came back, Shooter, Jim Shooter, mentioned me and my website on his blog.
Awesome!
Holy crap!
That is awesome!
Wow! Oh, hey,
hail Gary!
All hail Gary!
All hail Gary!
Awesome. Hail Gary!
I've been replied to by Paul Dini.
I'm followed by his wife follows me.
Kurt Busiek told me to die
Misty
one time.
Misty really?
Yep. So it's cool. You can die the death.
So that's Paul Dini's model for Zatanna.
Yes, I've always said I was going to tweet this. Actually, I forgot to. Is because Kevin Conroy and Bruce Timm weren't actually them on Twitter. I was going to tweet, you know it's really Paul Dini because all he talks about is cartoons and magicians.
Fishnets?
It's all he cares about. Have any of you guys ever listened to his podcast, Radio Rashi?
I haven't listened.
Mm-mm. It's a really fun show. I haven't listened to a lot of it. I've only listened to a few bits of it, pieces here and there, but it's a lot of fun. And I guess him and his wife play these two characters as well as themselves, or they're supposed to be their sock puppet sons, called Rashi and something else. It's really fun. And they come back to talk about cartoons.
And
magicians. Apparently, she tried to stab him in the eye recently, like Comic-Con. I don't know.
Hockey flow and flow.
I keep blowing and blowing.